So we're going to continue today, as we just mentioned, with our discussion of the purpose of mitzvot. We're going to talk a little bit more at the beginning about mitzvot in general, and then I'd like to turn to the question of looking for the reasons of particular mitzvot. We began a couple weeks ago with idea that's in the Rambam, the Minchas, the Sefer Chinuch, and others, that mitzvot are clearly for us to be mashlemas, to be mesakinas, that we could be rewarded, that it's inconceivable any other possibility. But we noted as well over the last 2 weeks that this shouldn't be our motivation. And specifically, we considered three reasons why that shouldn't be our motivation. We saw that the Sefer Chinuch said that if we think about that, then we'll just be self-centered. In other words, we'll only be thinking about ourselves. What do I get out of the mitzvah? I'm doing the mitzvah because I am a perfected person. I'll get schar and the like. And that shouldn't be our motivation. Ideally, we should serve God out of love, not just because we wish to be benefited in some way. We also discussed the approach of the Maharal, that when you focus on what do I get out of the mitzvos, so that could lead to the attitude of, I'll do mitzvos when I see fit. If it's for my sake, so then if I'm in a mood, I'll do it. And if not, so I have the right to respectfully decline. And that's why, no, we have to look at mitzvos as an all, that we submit unconditionally to God's will. Yes, they might be for us, but the Torah demands submission and sacrifice. And finally, number three, which is what we discussed last week, we saw in Nefesh HaChaim and other sources, that while true, the perspective that we can give nothing to God and that mitzvot are by definition for us is only true from his vantage point. But that's not a perspective that we could really relate to. That from our perspective, adiraba, when we do mitzvot, we do give HaKadosh Baruch Hu something. We talked about how could we, on the one hand, know that they're for us and still pretend that they're for him. And we tried to develop the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world whereby in this world that he created, we're able to give him something. And not only that, but we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in two different ways. One, which is that which we could be tofes, the or panimi, and from that perspective, then yes, we're giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then we talked about the or makif, and from that perspective, which is in a sense beyond our kalim to be tofes, then that's not true. But even though we can't be tofes it fully, we can still relate to it on some way. The difference between emuna and yedia, that yedia is the aspect of God that we could prove, that we could know, that we could be tofes. And Amunah relates to that which is beyond us. So I'd like to continue with a couple more ha'aros about mitzvos in general, and then we will turn to mitzvos in particular. So we saw in the Ramban a couple of weeks ago that the Ramban writes two basic goals of mitzvos. The first one was perfection of the mind, Liosenu nekiye hanefesh, chachamim maskile ha'emes, below sige machshavos raus. And examples of this included mitzvos like remembering the Exodus and eating kosher food. And the second was perfection of character, limnoa mida meguna. And this included mitzvos like shchita and shiluach hakein. Along similar lines, the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Tmura writes that the purpose of most mitzvos, and what's so interesting here is he's including mitzvos that relate to karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, is perfection of the mind and perfection of the character, basically to ensure we have correct viewpoints and upright behavior. And again, what's so interesting here, so take a look at it, this is in your source sheets from a couple of weeks ago in the section that says 35.7. What's so interesting here is that this is being suggested to explain Hilchos Tmura. So the Rambam writes, This is at the end of Hilchos Tumura. The Rambam, as you know, at the end of each sefer usually has a little bit of, or each group of halachos has a more of a drushy conclusion, but it's a drushy conclusion that's oftentimes very informative. It's not just fluff. V'chol elu hadvarim kedei lakof yitzro l'sakin de'osav. These halachos of Tumura are to subjugate one's yetzer and to improve their character. V'rov dinei Torah einan ela etzos me'rachok migadol ha'etza. All or rov dinei Torah are, I don't know exactly how to define this, ideas or recommendations, suggestions, counsel from distance, from Gadol Ha'etzah, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the great Baal Eitzah. It's Mirachok, because we don't really see and usually understand how mitzvos do their job. In other words, what we see of mitzvos, you know, when we think of Hilchos Tumura, so we don't think about character. But the emes is that they are. They're etzos me rachok, me gadol ha'etza, l'saken ha'deos, deos are midos, uliyasher kol ha'maisim. V'cheinu omer, halo kasavti l'cha shilishim, b'motzaos v'das lodiacha, koshet imre emes, l'shiv amarim emes, l'shol chayach. It's a pasuk from Mishle. I've written for you in the Torah important matters to inform you of the veracity of the words of Torah so that you will respond truthfully to those who sent you. So that's part of the emes of Torah, that it does this. And again, I think that it's very significant that he is bringing this out from Hilchos Tumura. Now, so far, we've sort of focused on the individual, right? What do I get out of mitzvos? It improves my character. It makes me wiser. All those things that we've seen in the Ramban and the Rambam. But there's another aspect of mitzvos, which is obvious from many mitzvos. And that is Torah's concern for society in general. In other words, oftentimes, as we'll see in the Rambam, mitzvos aren't just about the individual. What does the individual get out of it? But rather, the mitzvos are about creating the most perfect possible society. And that's something that we have to think about. That's something we have to have in mind. I'll tell you, we'll see two places where the Rambam spells this out in a very interesting way. So the first one is from the Rambam's Perush Mishnayos in Maseches Sanhedrin. The Rambam's addressing the question of why the Torah prohibits gambling. So there's a discussion in the Gemara. One opinion says it might be gazel, asmachta, lokanya. That's actually the view that he seems to endorse in the Mishnah Torah, though it's unclear. But in the Perush Mishnayos over here, he says, no, the reason is not because it's gazel, but rather it's because a person in this world has to direct all of their actions to one of two ends, to making themselves a better person or making the world a better place. And Misachik Bikuvia does neither of those. V'neser zeh mipnei shu misasik b'esek she'en bo to'eles li'yishuv ha'olam. V'yesod hu b'torasenu she'en roi la'adam Lahasik es atzmo bolam hazeh ela b'echa mishnei dvarim o b'chachma lahashlam es atzmo o b'esik shiyoil lo b'kiyum ha'olam kigon umnos o meschar. So a person, and especially when it comes to picking a profession, should focus on one of two things. How do I make myself a better person? Like by learning Torah. Or how do I improve society? How do I make the world a better place? Gambling does neither of those. Gambling certainly doesn't make you a better person, and it certainly does not make the world a better place. And therefore, it's aser ad kedei kach that a gambler is possible for eidos. he adds, the right lamait bezeh laharbos berisho. Our focus should be on self-perfection, like Talmud Torah, as opposed to societal perfection, kemosh amru, have me'at, me'at esek vasok b'torah. But still, that's the goal. In other words, a person should, whenever doing anything, you should think, well, what am I accomplishing here? And it should either be to make the world a better place or to make yourself a better person. The Rambam develops this idea in the Maor Nebuchim 3:27. And he writes over there, again, you have it here in your source sheets, that he calls it the twofold perfection, meaning to say perfecting the individual, perfecting the world, is the object of all divine commandments. All mitzvos are those two, one of those two, or sometimes both. But he writes that the ultimate goal is to train us in the truth and to impart correct and true opinions when the intellect is sufficiently developed. Meaning to say that why is self-perfection the ultimate? Why not societal perfection? And the answer is that the goal of the society is to allow for the individual to achieve that perfection. Meaning to say that a person would not have the opportunity, let's imagine that a person wanted to study Torah for many hours in a day, or study philosophy for many hours in a day. So without a strong society, he's not going to be able to do that, because he's going to be so busy finding food to eat and figuring out, how to make clothing. So you need both of them, right? I'll just read you a little bit from this passage. I'll read you for where it's bolded. Again, it aims first at the establishment of good mutual relations among men by removing injustice and creating the noblest feelings, right? Secondly, so that's the first point. The first point is to create this proper society. Secondly, it seeks to train us in faith and impart correct and true opinions when the intellect is sufficiently developed. And he says that these two things, the psukim themselves highlight these two aspects. Why? What does the pasuk say? Vayitzavenu Hashem la'asos kol ha'chukim ha'eila, liras Hashem elokeinu, l'tov lanu kol yomim, l'chayoseinu kayom hazeh. So here, the Rambam writes, a second perfection, which is Liras Hashem Elokeinu, is first mentioned because it's of greater importance. As Yir Shamayim, the self-perfection is more important, being, as we have shown, it's the ultimate aim of man's existence. Okay. Now, I just want to sort of explain that even though he says that the society allows the person to have that self-perfection, it doesn't mean to say that, like, I should only be thinking of myself. All you have to do is look at the greatest people in the Torah, Avraham Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, and you'll see their incredible concern for other people and for society as a whole. It's not just practical. And moreover, we're metaphysically linked. We share a single destiny. But at the end of the day, the Rambam at least holds that the ultimate goal is perfection of the person through Torah, Yir Shamayim, and the like. Now, the Rambam writes, so how is it that the mitzvos achieve their goal? Right? He's talked about this twofold perfection, perfection of the individual and perfection of the society. So he writes that it does this in three ways, in addressing deos, midos, and maise hanhaga medinit. So meaning to say correct beliefs, correct character traits, and proper societal norms. This is in Chelek Gimel Simen Nun Aleph. He writes this point, and he's going to say over here, you'll take a look, there are going to be six things that he mentions, which reflect the positive and the negative, so three pairs of two, of these three goals. So what does he say? Kol mitzvos me'elu atarjag mitzvos, he, number one, im l'nesinas das amiti, two, l'hasir de'ara. So number one is to have correct beliefs and to remove incorrect beliefs. So we'll believe that which is true. Number two, or I guess we call it three, o l'nesinas seder yashar, o l'hasir avel. So to create, this relates to society, to establish proper relations in a society or to remove evil from a society. And finally, number five, O l'islami b'midos tovos, O l'hazhir b'midos ros, to give us good midos or get rid of bad midos. Hakol nitla b'shlosh advar. So it all comes down to three things. B'deos, u'v'midos, u'v'mais ha'anhaga ha'medinis. And then what the Rambam does is he goes through all 613 mitzvos and he shows how they fall into one of these three categories. Namely, is the purpose of this mitzvah deos or midos or society? And it's sort of in that context that he presents all of them. Now, one of the interesting things that I think is important to note and which separates Judaism and Torah from other religions, not just, it separates them from other religions, like, let's say, Christianity. It also separates Torah from other strains of Judaism, which sadly exists nowadays, which is the focus on action and specific actions, halacha, right? We all know that halacha mitzvos dictate so much of what we do. And the question is why? You know, if the goal is, like the Rambam says, to have proper deos and proper midos, so why do we need so many ma'aseh mitzvos, right? Why do we need a ma'aseh mitzvah? Deos, so we should learn and have proper deos. Midos, so we should, you know, I understand why you need the haftalecha kamocha. But why do we have so many mitzvos, right? And this was, in a sense, you know, the taina of so many people who rejected Torah, you know, from Yeshu to the modern reform movement, is all about, you know, why do you need these so many meisim? So if you take a look at the Maharal in Tiferes Yisrael, Perek Vav, which we already referred to, he writes that question, that challenge, shows that whoever asked that question fundamentally doesn't understand how we as people actually are. Maybe they're being naive, but that doesn't reflect an understanding of who a person is. Maharal writes, and we talked about this in Elul, if we were nothing more than our minds or our souls, whatever you wish to call it, then it would make sense that mitzvos would directly focus on our thoughts or our emotions. But in reality, we're a body merged with a soul. And when we look at our mess ups, it's not usually intellectual, but rather we might want to do what's right and we might even know what's right, but we don't seem to end up doing it exactly. So mitzvos address that weakness in us, that fact that we're not just a neshama, but we're a guf and a neshama. They address it holistically, as opposed to just focusing on one aspect. And you'll say, okay, well, I know that the Maharal says that type of stuff, but what about the Rambam? The Rambam says the same thing in Chelek Beis of Mar Nevuchah and Perek Lamed Aleph. He writes, opinions do not last unless they are accompanied by actions that strengthen them. In other words, to achieve perfection, we have to act, right? We have to do these mitzvos. And he writes, for by carrying out all the mitzvos and all of their details, and details is important, of the prescribed practices and repeating them continually, so then you'll be filled with respect and reverence for God and bearing in mind who is with them, and they will perform their duty. So mitzvos help us internalize the values and the beliefs of Torah in a way that a Musar Shmuz certainly will not. And that's what the Sefer HaChinuch is always saying, that external actions are over the Pnimi. And this idea that we need the actions, we need the mitzvos, we need the halacha, is certainly a hallmark of the halachic system. The Rav very powerfully, you have it over here, this is a piece from Uvikashta Misham, writes that history has shown the naivete and the dangers that result of from people thinking that you could just be a godly person and a moral person by preaching moral values and teachings without grounding them in a structure that governs behavior, treating humans as though they're just their minds and not their bodies. So let's take a look a little bit over here from what the Rav writes. This is from Vikashta Misham. It's very powerful, a paragraph here. Tzimtzum chavayat hadat v'nisyona b'misgeret chavaya v'nisyon ruchaniim gorem l'siluk hoda v'hashbata. So that's a very powerful formulation. In other words, confining the religious experience to a spiritual framework deprives it of its splendor and its influence. And skipping, datiyut ne'aderet yisod objektivi giluyi hamechayevet adam l'masim upeulot eina yicholah lechvosh et hachaya shebe'adam. If you just have religiosity lacking an objective revelatory foundation, which demands actions, so you won't be able to conquer the animal in man. Ka'amuna ha-subjektivit nitulet tzav v'chok, she'aleha diber Shaul mitarshish, right? You know who that is? That's Paul. So, af im titcha peis bilvush havat elokim v'adam. So if you don't have these mitzvot, if you don't have tzivoy, if you don't have commandments, you just have these, very nice statements all about love. So that's not going to endure. It's not going to last. You have to have a mitzvah, you have to do ma'asim tovim. And not only that, you have to do mitzvahs even though you don't always like them, they don't always make sense, they don't always fit into society, they're countercultural, right? And then he writes, "Hashoah hanoraa shel milchemet ha'olam hashniya tochiach." The Holocaust proves this. Kol eila medabrim al ha'ava amdu v'shatku v'lo michu. All these people who talked all about love, they were quiet. Right? He's not talking about the Nazis. He's talking about everybody else who believed in love and didn't do anything. Harbe mehem gam ishtatfu bashmadat milyonei b'nei adam. So how does the halachic system solve this problem? So what's the Rav saying? First of all, it's realistic to human nature. It accepts that beliefs don't always govern behavior. A person may believe in justice, but they're going to be tempted to cheat. They may desire closeness to God, but they give in to temptation. You might soar like an angel in Yom Kippur, but couple days later, you're back to the baseness that you were before. And moreover, you could totally deceive yourself. That's one thing that the Rav mentions over here. There's another thing that he says.
He alludes to. Can I just ask a quick question?
Yeah.
If the Jewish army is at war, and they're at a Mochamas mitzvah, you can have a soldier killing lots of people, and then he comes home and he has a lot of love. So it's perfectly, conceivable that if someone considered, a milchemes mitzvah, like let's say the Nazis looked at Jews in a certain way, like they're cleaning the world, and they have a certain perspective on that, it's not necessarily a contradiction of their belief system, their actions.
How anyone could come to such a belief system is only because they're absolutely grotesque. I don't I think that's an unrelated question to this topic. It's an important question to think about. I think what the Rav here is saying is a different thing, which is forget the Nazis. Look at the people who preached love and believed that you can't just kill people, but didn't do anything about it. And I think that's the point that he's addressing. Let's read on a little bit more, because he's going to add another point, and then I'll take your questions. If the Rav writes, this next piece is from Halachic Man, and he adds to the point that he said, and also he adds another point, which is that we as people aren't so stable. And, you know, a lot of times we're not feeling it. And one of the things that halacha does for us is that it keeps us connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just when we're feeling spiritual and close to him, but always. And not only that, but when we are feeling spiritual and, you know, we halacha makes sure we don't float away and live in the clouds. It grounds us. Maybe I'll just read this one in English, though I gave you the original Hebrew. The fundamental tendency of halacha is to translate the qualitative features of religious subjectivity, the content of religious man's consciousness, which surges and swells like the waves of the sea, then pounds against the shores of reality, there to shatter and break, into firm and well-established quantities, like nails well-fastened, that no storm could uproot from their place. The halacha wishes to objectify religiosity, not only through introducing the textual act, the external act, and the psychophysical deed into the world of religion, but also through structuring and ordering of the inner correlative in the realm of man's spirit. The halacha sets down statutes and erects markers that serve as a dam against a surging subjective current coursing through the universal homo religiosus, which from time to time is in its raging turbulence, sweeps away his entire being to obscure and inchoate realms. In other words, right, if you without halacha, you're sometimes not sufficiently spiritual, and sometimes you're so overly spiritual that you're nothing to do with the world. And here we have the importance of making sure that we're steady and stable, and that's one of the things that the halacha does. Now, of course, there's a great danger that comes with focusing on the ritual. It could be rote. It could be devoid of contemplation and deeper meaning. You could just do the actions. It could be mitzvos anashim melumada. And it's not the case that just by keeping the halacha, you're guaranteed to be a moral person. A person could be novel b'rishas HaTorah. And we'll talk more about that another time. I'd like to get back to what I really wanted to do today. But the point that I think the Rav here is teaching us is that, which again, we saw basically in the Rambam and in the Maral as well, which is that what mitzvos do and how the halachic system does is it creates the ideal society. It perfects the individual to the extent possible. It keeps them grounded and it keeps them close. And it prevents them from justifying all sorts of different things by giving them specific command mitzvos and structure. And all that together, Mishpatei Hashem Emes Tzadku Yachdav. The mitzvos of Hashem are tzadku, when they're biyachad, when they're together. not as just as individuals, but together. And that's the goal. Max, did you still have a question? No.
No, it was in response to an earlier comment made about the Nazi thing, but you answered essentially what I was going to say.
Great. So now I want to turn to, which is really what I was wanting to talk about today, which is whether we should seek to discover the reasons for particular mitzvos. So we all know that the Torah, generally speaking, doesn't tell us the reasons for mitzvos. And there might be some mitzvos where the Torah sort of tells us the reason, like Shabbos, it says, Kisheshes yamim asa Hashem es ha-shamayim v'asa-aretz. Tzitzis, we say, Laman tizkur v'asisa v'skol mitzvosai. But for the most part, even those aren't complete reasons. And certainly for the most part, the Torah does not tell us the reasons for mitzvos. So the question is, should we try to figure them out? One could argue that if Hashem didn't tell us, so that means we're not meant to know. And therefore, we shouldn't try to figure out the reasons for mitzvos. There's an interesting Gemara in Pesachim, Kuf Yotes Amud Aleph, maybe you saw it last year, that indicates that that's not the case. The Gemara over there states, I think, that the Torah is hiding these reasons doesn't imply that they should be kept as a secret, but rather a person should seek to understand them and even publicize them. The Gemara is a tricky Gemara, but it says, "My lemechse atik, zeh mechase dvarim shekisa atik yomin, umayniu sisrei Torah." So there's two averos you could do. One is if you publicize things that God meant to be hidden, like the secrets of the Torah, ve'ekad amri zeh megala dvarim shekisa atik yomin, mayniu tamei Torah. It's the opposite, that it's teaching us that someone who is megala the reasons for mitzvos is doing something positive. It's interesting. In other words, some things that Hashem kept hidden, we're supposed to keep hidden, and some things we're supposed to reveal. And the Gemara seems to tell us that when it comes to Tamei Mitzvos, that's one of the things that we should be megala. And we do find in Chazal, not certainly systematically, like we find in the Rishonim, but times where the Gemara will suggest reasons for a mitzvah. One famous example is over here, Nida Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, Sayyid Meir Omer, Mipnei Ma Amra Torah Nida L'Shiva, Mipnei Shiragil Bavakatzpa, Amra Torah, Tehei Temea Shiva Yamim, Kedesh Te Chaviva Al Baila, Kishas Knisasa L'Chopa. So if one's wife was always muteres, then there would be boredom in intimacy. And by the Torah making a rasura for 7 days and then muteres, so this revitalizes the marriage. She's going to be like a kala biyom chupasa. So what's the Gemara doing? The Gemara is suggesting a reason for a mitzvah. The Rambam therefore writes, this is a very famous passage in Hilchos Me'ilah, you have it next, Perek Ches, the end of Me'ilah. Ro'i la'adam lehisbonein b'mishpatei HaTorah kedosha, v'leida sof inyanam kefi kocho. So ro'i here, how do you translate ro'i? I think maybe we would naturally translate ro'i as it's appropriate, meaning to say it's a good thing. I think in the Rambam, I think Rav Tversky mentioned this, that the word ra'ui means that this is something that you should do. This is something that you should do. So it's appropriate. It's more than appropriate. It's something that we should do. We should all go ahead and to contemplate the mitzvos of the Torah and to understand them to the extent that we're able to. So we should look for reasons for mitzvos. The davar shelo yimtza lo tam, velo yeda lo ila. But let's say there's a mitzvah that you don't understand. You don't find a reason in it for it. Al yehi kal be'enav. But then you shouldn't treat that lightly. Al yaros alos al Hashem pen yifrotz bo. So the imagery here is to the fences that Hashem instructs Moshe to make around Sinai during Matan Torah, and he tells the people, don't pass your station, don't be Poetz Gader. And the same thing is true here. In other words, if there's a mitzvah that you don't understand, and therefore you ignore it, or you dismiss it, or you reread it, or the like. So that's a pirtza. You shouldn't think about mitzvahs like you think about secular matters. In other words, when it comes to secular matters, so if something doesn't make sense to you, so then probably you shouldn't do it. But when it comes to mitzvahs, obviously that's not true. And the Rambam shows this by analogy. Bo ure'e kamech mir Torah b'me'ilah. Look how chomer the Torah is with respect to Milo. Ma emetim avad v'afar v'efer, kevan shenik v'shem adon ha'olam aleihem b'dvarim bilvad niskadshu v'chol ha'noeg b'han minag chol ma'al b'hashem v'afilo yeshogeg tzarech kapara. So when it comes to hektish, you can't treat them with minag chol. Ka v'chomer l'mitzvah shechakak lanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu shelo yiv'ot adam b'hen mipnei shelo yada ta'aman. So too, you can't dismiss or disrespect mitzvahs just because you don't know the reasons. So we know that the Torah says you have to do both shmira and asiyah when it comes to mitzvahs. So we know what asiyah samitzvah is. That means doing the mitzvah. Vashmira. So what when the Torah says you need shmira for mitzvos, what does that mean? Shizar behem v'lidama shehem p'chusim in mishpatim. Shmira when it comes to chukim means that you can't somehow think that they're less important. Someone, the Torah says, don't treat chukim just because you don't understand them as in some way less important. Maybe you'll do them, but you'll see them as less vital, and that's a violation of shmira. So on the one hand, the Rambam is telling us we have to try to figure out the reasons for mitzvot, but also we have to respect their holiness and acknowledge our own inadequacy. So that's why, while many Rishonim offer reasons for mitzvot, the Rambam and the Sefer Chinuch, for example, write reasons for basically all the mitzvot. There is a very careful about that. There's a danger. What's the danger? So one danger, we'll see others as well, but one danger is that when you suggest reasons for the mitzvos, so then you get accustomed to thinking that you're doing it because of the reason, which is basically part of what the Rambam says, treating mitzvos like something secular. When there's something secular, I do it because it makes sense. So if we look for the reasons for mitzvos, then what sometimes might happen is that we'll start doing them because they make sense and not because Hashem says. Rav Hirsch in Chorev also writes Tamei HaMitzvos, and he highlights this tension in his Hakdama especially. He says that when you're thinking of reasons for mitzvos, that can't be the reason why you do the mitzvos. Otherwise, we basically become arbiters and judges of God's laws. And he says that's the pshat in Nasa V'nishma. What's Nasa V'nishma? Nasa V'nishma means that we're going to do the mitzvos because Hashem said so. And then it's a very fine and positive thing to think about why we do it, what the reasons for it, but let's correct myself. The reasons that we discover are not the why that we do it. And I'll get to your question, Yonatan, in a second, but Chazal, I think, are really alluding to this point in the very famous Medrash that Rashi quotes, that Reb Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Minayin shel yomer adam yafshi lo bo shatnez, yafshi lachol bsar chazir, yafshi lavo al ha'erva, aval afshi, uma esesh, avisha bashamayim gazar alai. Talmud lomar, v'abdil aschem min ha'amim lios li, shetei havdalaschem mehem lishmi, v'lo midas atzmechem. Nim tzeporsh min avera, umekabel alav malchus shamayim. In other words, when we do the mitzvos, we're not doing them because it makes sense. We're doing it lishma. We're doing them because Hashem said. Now, again, you might have said, oh, well, if that's the case, so then I shouldn't even bother looking for mitzvos. But what we see the Rambam teaching us, and I think Chazal teaching us, and we'll talk about, again, why this is so important soon, but is that's not the case. There's a tremendous value to understanding mitzvos as much as we possibly can. We just can't think that's it, that there's no more to it, and that can't be our reason or our motivation. The Rambam in Shmona Prakim, let me take your question, Ali. Go ahead.
I was wondering also if there's a concern about when we give reasons to mitzvos, maybe making like the wrong pecking order or making exceptions to the mitzvos when we really shouldn't say like, mitzvah is based off this.
That's a danger. And we'll talk about that, I guess, not this week, but when it comes to the concept of lo darshin and time midikra, whereby we seem to be saying that even though it's okay to come up with reasons for mitzvos, those reasons don't affect the practice of the mitzvah, doesn't determine the parameters of the mitzvah in a lemaisa way. Now, does that mean that there's never any lemaisa to it? So we'll see. Maybe there is to some level. That's a question we have to get back to. But that is a danger. You're absolutely right. And that's seen in, among other places, by the concept of lo darshin on time of the crop. Yes, Yonatan.
Is Rabbi saying that it's a danger and therefore we shouldn't try to understand time of the crop? Or no, is this just a danger?
It's a danger, and therefore we have to be careful when looking for the reasons for mitzvot. That's the way Rav Hirsch puts it. Other, this is from Rav Hirsch's Hakdama to Chorev, where he offers reasons for mitzvot. But he's saying that when suggesting reasons, you have to be very careful.
Could I ask a question?
Yeah.
When a chacham is does something, or based in Paskins as the Horas Shah, so it's something which is breaking. Well, I mean, it can be like Elio Har Carmel. Mm-hmm. So in that case, is it reasonable for the whoever is doing the Horas Shah to use the time, the reasons he understands of the mitzvos as justification for this particular Horas Shah?
Yes, but it's only mutter temporarily.
Yeah, I understand.
Is made by the Nefesh HaChayim. But yes,
there can be a nafkamina.
Correct.
For,
that might be a nafkamina. We'll talk about other nafkaminas, but that might be one possible nafkamina. Nefesh HaChayim says something like that. Another aspect to remember, an idea that many of the Rishonim point out, is that whatever reasons we give are but one aspect of the mitzvah, or one of many reasons. You see the Ramban over here, we have ulemitzos Hashem tamim rabim b'chol achas, ki yesh b'chol achas to'alos rabos l'guf v'nefesh. Even if we understand one aspect, we shouldn't think that's the whole thing. The Ramban occasionally will say, this is the reason for the mitzvah al-pi pshat, and this is al-pi drash, and this is al-pi sod. And so the Ramban will say that there are multiple reasons, and they're all true. Just like you would explain a pasuk on many levels, and you'll think that there's all true, there's value to explaining the pasuk al-pi drash and al-pi sod, so too, there's value in explaining a mitzvah pi pshat and drash and so on. Like we saw earlier in that Ramban when we did a couple of weeks ago on Shiluach HaKein. So the Ramban explained that the purpose of the mitzvah in a non-mystical way is to train us to have midos tovos, to be compassionate and not achzarian. And then he gave a totally different reason, al pi sod. And again, what's so interesting is that, you know, you might have thought that, well, what's the sod? The sod is the emes. So once you know the mystical reasons for the mitzvos, so there's no reason to study the non-mystical reasons. But we saw in that Ramban that that's not true. In other words, they're all true. I saw a very beautiful piece. I put it here a little bit in Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch in Shiri Das. So he gives a very beautiful explanation, like a psychological insight to the details of the halachos of Sota. And he writes that beyond the reasons I gave, there are mystical reasons. But these deeper reasons, first of all, he says they're not unrelated. They're related. And there's value to both. Even if you think that the Tamei Mitzvos that are al pi pshat are the outer layer, like he says, of a person's clothing, and the sod is the inner. But you understand something about a person by looking at their outer layer as well as what's on the inside. And, you know, the Ramban very famously adds that many people could do the same mitzvah, and it's the same maisa for a different reason. He points this out by the karbanos of the Nisim. So the Ramban is bothered, like everyone, why is Parshas Naso so long? Why does it have to say the same exact karban that was given by all 12 of the Nisim? Just say it once. Say all 12 people brought the same thing. And he writes that the pshat is that ki l'chol echad me'anisim ala b'machshav alahavi chanukah l'mizbeach v'shetia v'zashir aval nachshon chashav v'shir azeh tam echad v'zulaso kol echad me'anisim chashav tam b'fnei atzvo. Nachshon had one thing in mind, and the next nasi, Nisan ben Tzur, had a different thing in mind, even though they brought the same shir. So when we talk about mitzvos and their reasons, A, there are many reasons, and B, different people might appreciate different things. But what I want to, I guess, in the remaining couple of minutes to talk about is chukim. So what is a chok? What is a mishpat? Does it matter that these have different classifications? Should we come? If the idea of a chok is a mitzvah that we can't understand, should we try to understand chukim? So what is the difference? The Gemara in Yuma says, Tana Rabbanan, es mishpatai ta'asu, dvarim she'el male nichtivu, dinhu she'yichtivu, ve'elu hein avodas kolchavim, gilui resh, v'chustamim, gazel v'berkas Hashem. Es chukosai tishmiru, dvarim she'asatan meishim aleyen, ve'ilu ve'elu hein, achilas chazel, v'shashatnes, chalitza sivama, taras mitzoyra, sira mishtaleach, Bishama Tomar Maisa Tohem, Tamalom Aniasham, Aniasham, Chakaktiv, the Ein Lacharishos, Lahar Herbahen. So it seems, I guess, the simplest way is that a chok is a mitzvah that we would not have independently discovered. It's not intuitive. Not to say that once it's given, we can't understand it, but we wouldn't have figured it out on our own. Which is the mashmos of Hilchos Me'ila, we saw before. The Rambam writes, "Mishpatim heina mitzvos shetayim and galui, the tovas asiyasim ba'olam hazayadua." Now, when the Gemara says that when it comes to chukim, ein lecha rishus laharher bahen, what does that mean? Right? Does that mean you have no right to doubt them, or does it mean you have no permission to explain them? So the Rambam clearly understands it means you have no right to doubt them. You can't be dismissive of them. There's no mitzvah that you can't explain. That seems to be the approach of the Rambam. And if you take a look, just one is at the Rambam from 326, which is what I gave you in the, you could get in the chat or from the Marmakomos that were on the canvas. Let's take a look at how he puts it. We'll start from the beginning of the chapter, because I think there's a very subtle and interesting dahar here that's worth considering. So just as there is disagreement among the men of speculation, among the adherents of the law, whether his works, may he be exalted, are consequent upon his wisdom or upon his will alone, without being intended toward any end at all. So just like there's a machlokas about whether the things that Hashem made, are they dependent upon his wisdom or his will, right? That's the Chakiva. Likewise, there's a there's also the same disagreement among them regarding the mitzvos, right? So what are the options, right? So L'chore, he's going to say that there's going to be two tzadim, right? It could be because of his will, and it could be because of his wisdom. But what I think the Rambam is going to say over here is he's going to give three possibilities. Now, we have to read it very carefully. Is there three or two? When you're learning Mor Nevuchim, you have to read Mor Nevuchim very, very carefully. And you have to be medayik in it. And there are all sorts of subtle devices that the Rambam uses to subtly intend what he means to tell you, but in a way that you might not notice. So let's read it carefully. Thus, there are people who do not seek for them any cause at all, saying that all laws are consequent upon his will alone. So the first school of thought says that there are no reasons for mitzvos, right? What are the reasons for mitzvos? Because Hashem said so. That's it. That's the first group. There are also people who say that every commandment and prohibition in these laws is consequent upon wisdom and aims at some end, and that all laws have causes and were given in view of some utility. The second school of thought says no, that there are reasons for all the mitzvos. Okay, so l'chore, that's it, right? Either the first school says there aren't any reasons, the second says there are. But now he's going to say something very tricky. It is, however, the doctrine of all of us, both the multitude and the elite, that all the laws have a cause, though we ignore the causes for some of them, and we do not know the manner in which they conform to wisdom. With regard to this, the texts of the books are clear. Chukim u'mishpatim, right? And the pasuk that we said before, tzadku yachdav. So what's he saying? That seems to be a third group. What is the correct opinion, right? He says, this is our opinion. How is that different than the second opinion? Second opinion says mitzvos have reasons. So what's the difference between the second opinion and our opinion? Because so it seems to me that what he's saying is that the second school of thought denies the concept of chukim. The third school of thought says that there are such thing as chukim, that we acknowledge that there are mitzvos that we can't figure out, again, either due to the incapacity of our intellect or the deficiency in our knowledge, but there are such things. We have to, relating to the concept of a chok is very, very important. Even as you believe all mitzvos have reasons, and even as you try to figure out those reasons. And that's the yesod that the Rambam is saying over here. Now, why is this so important? So we already talked about earlier that the Rambam seems to have a different approach to this question in the Mishneh Torah and in the Mor Nevuchim. In the Mishneh Torah, for example, let's take Karbanos. So he writes that Karbanos are chok. That's that Rambam that we just saw at the end of Hilchos Me'ilah. That they are, Karbanos are chok. In the Mor Nevuchim, he offers reasons for Karbanos. He offers reasons for lots of mitzvos where he gives these types of biological or historical reasons. And you don't find those reasons in the Mishneh Torah. Now, it's not a stira be'etzem, because we could say that that they're both true. But in other words, it's a chok. We can't really understand it, but we could still offer some type of explanation. But it is important that, you know, these are, as we talked about before, the Rambam has different agendas in these two works, and he takes different approaches. There's another knach that the Ramban has when talking about chukim, which I think is very interesting. The Ramban writes that a chok isn't just a mitzvah that we don't understand, but a chok is a mitzvah that's paradoxical in some way. Let's take Sira Mishtaleach. The Ramban writes that Sira Mishtaleach is classified as a chok. And that's because we don't know why we do it, but because there's something that's paradoxical about it. Because Sira Mishtaleach seems to be a karban lazazel, which we would normally see as avodah zarah, right? Chazal say that paraduma is a chok because it's mitar tameim umitame tahorim, meaning to say that chok isn't just something that we don't understand why, but there's something strange about it. There's a kasha, it's shver. The Ramban, oftentimes when it comes to chukim, offers mystical explanations to such paradoxical mitzvos, and he does both about this Yom Shalach and the Paraduma. But it's an interesting point. So how do we relate to chukim? So obviously, we don't really treat a chok and a mishpat differently. In other words, in both cases, like we said, we do the mitzvos because Hashem said so. Chazal always emphasized that this is something that for which people make fun of us and that we might ourselves struggle with, Yitzro. But that is our approach. So the question that we need to think about, and I guess we'll introduce the question this week and maybe we'll talk about it next week. Really, I was hoping to do that today, but I guess I went too slowly, is differing approaches to searching for reasons for mitzvos. Why would we search for mitzvos, or should we search for reasons for mitzvos? And we're going to consider basically three approaches to why you should search for reasons for mitzvos. Then we'll talk about why maybe you shouldn't. But what's the goal? What's the goal? What's the goal of searching for reasons for mitzvos? I guess we'll have to stop here. But Be'ezras Hashem, we'll pick up next week. Everyone should have a good Chodesh and a good Shabbos. And I'm happy to take more questions if you have any.
I have a question.
Thank you, Rabbi. Good job.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Good job.
The Rambam in Hilchas Me'ila that we were talking about that says that there are no, that karbonos are a chok. Mm-hmm. Doesn't the Torah and Chazal give us reasons for karbonos? It's a reich nichoch l'Hashem.
Well, the Rambam tells us that chukim, we should look for reasons for chukim. It doesn't mean, chok doesn't mean a mitzvah without reason or even a mitzvah whose reasons we can't understand. It's a mitzvah that we wouldn't come up with on our own. That's what we're trying to explain. So just because, right, and I would add to that, you know, reach nichoach l'Hashem is not really something that makes sense as a reason because Hashem doesn't smell.
But let's take a carbon chatas for a second.
So that makes perfect sense
because
we could come up with reasons. Chukim has nothing to do with, doesn't mean that you can't come up with reasons, right? That's what the Rambam was telling us. You're only asking a question if you define chok as something that's totally and utterly mysterious that we can't understand.
Like paradoxical, like the way you were saying the Ramban explains.
So that's right. But even there, the Ramban offers reasons. He just thinks that you need Kabbalah to understand them.
Mm-hmm.
Chok doesn't mean that it's something that you can't understand. Adaraba, it's a mitzvah to try to understand chukim. It's just that they're not something that you would come up with on your own, and you may not fully be able to plummet their depths, but doesn't mean that they're totally indecipherable.
I forget, it's maybe Rav Hirsch, and maybe not Rav, whoever does it. Someone distinguishes Eidos as being those mitzvos which are like historical testimony. In other words, it's not like mishpatim, like, Easter.
Correct. Rav Hirsch divides it into three types of mitzvos.
Yeah, so according to that, then chukim and Eidos are different. So it's not simply that we wouldn't come up with it, But once you came up with it, we can understand well, you know, why the mitzvah of matzah is makes sense because of all the talk about it. Although on our own, we wouldn't have come up with the mitzvah of matzah. But once you have it, so it's historical background. So in that case, Edo's chukim have to be somewhat more circumscribed. It's not. From a diktuk point, sometimes the Torah refers to chukim and sometimes chukos. For example, the paraduma, which is in the popular vernacular called the quintessential chok, the Torah is called the chukah, not a chok. I've often wondered what is the reason, what is the distinction between these two similar concepts. I have no, I mean, the in terms of words, sometimes chok is used to mean like an apportion, like Yosef gave to the Komarim in Egypt, the Kohanim, so-called there, the chok, as a their daily portion. However, that's a different meaning of the word chok. But when it means, you know, a mitzvah, I've often wondered what is the subtle nuance between a chok and a chukah. I have no clue.
Okay, I don't know either. Thank you for pointing it out.
Okay.
I was also wondering if there's a, you know, how we look at the difference in tiers for the reasons of mitzvahs, meaning if the pasuk itself gives a reason or if the Gemara brings a reason, or the, you know, there could be so many levels of where the reason came from that it could make more or less importance how important the reasoning is halachically, you know?
Either way, lo darshin on time of the kra. So typically, halachically, it makes no difference. Again, I hope next week we're going to see, try to explain the many cases where it does seem we're using reasons to explain the halacha. And we'll have to figure out why that doesn't violate the principle of lo darshin on time of the kra. But typically, you would expect that it doesn't affect the halacha either way, whether it's a reason given by Chazal or a reason that we made up, right? Let's give an example. And we mentioned before that the Gemara asks, Lama Asra Nida Lashiva, Shelo Yehe Ragil Bavakatzba. So let's say a person was away from his wife for 6 months. He had to go on a business trip. He comes back and she's a Nida. So obviously the reason for the mitzvah isn't relevant, but still nobody would say that she's Mutaras. There is a funny Taras HaShlamim about that on the page of the Shulchan Aruch. But anyway, we won't go there. So Lamaisa, right, of course, so even though that's a reason given by Chazal, nobody would think that that reason is going to determine the scope or the parameters of a mitzvah. Certainly, that would be the case when it comes to reasons that we ourselves come up with.
But there's so many times when you look at Shalos and Tshuvas, where the Rabbanim, you know, say the only reason for the mitzvah is because of this. And therefore,
you find me a place where they said that.
We see that all the time, almost every day.
Give me an
day.
Example.
Kos Pogam, right?
Well, that's a Dinda Rabbanan, and that's not even an Isser. In other words, first of all, there's obviously Dinim de Rabbanan are going to be treated differently because they are man legislated by man. And certainly when it comes to things that aren't even, you know, you have to figure out the gather of what a kos pugum is and why it's usher, but it might not even be a din. But you're not entirely wrong, even though I'm being a little dismissive, because there are many places where what we seem to be doing is darshin on time of the kra. Now, clearly we're not. And again, I hope to get back to that question, but there's a big difference between Lamdus, which is legitimate, and time of decra, which is illegitimate with respect to determining the halacha. Or to put it a little differently, there's a difference between the juridical why and the philosophical why. When I ask why do we do this mitzvah? The philosophical why seeks to understand the mitzvah from the outside, not from within. And that type of reason can never determine the parameters of the mitzvah. That's the idea of lo darshin on time of dekra. There's also the juridical why, or what Briskers like to say, what, but it's the same thing as a why. And it's the idea that we're going to go ahead and from the inside try to figure out the gadar of the mitzvah. And that is what we call lamdas, and that certainly determines the parameters of the mitzvah. So, but we'll have a chance to return to that question, Be'ezras Hashem, in coming weeks. But that's sometimes a subtle distinction, but a very important distinction. So it may be the case that what you're referring to is the juridical why, not the philosophical why. Tamia mitzvos is from understanding the mitzvos from the outside perspective. Lamdos is trying to figure them out from the inside.
Thank you so much for clarifying that.
Okay.
And I wanted to wish you a Chodesh Tov and a good Shabbos.
You too.
So for example, trying to flesh out what exactly definition of borer is a juridical why. What, yes. What is, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. As a parenthetical note to whoever it was who brought up a question about the Nazis who had their warped view. If you're not grounded by halacha lemaisa, so sometimes your philosophical things will not only lead you to be passive, but also can lead you to be worse. Mm-hmm. I've read in more than one place that the German intellectuals were even worse than the German Hamonam during World War, because being such intellectuals, they were able to find also terusim and rationalizations for their animalistic behavior. Whereas the Hamonam, not being so sophisticated, realized that these things are simply bestial and didn't do the needs as much.
Shkayach.
Maybe one other thing before I conclude. This has nothing to do with your shiur for today, but just this is a sort of a metaphor which occurred to me, I guess, a number of months ago, which is nogea for your general interest in machshava. This talking about trying to have some emotional hasaga on the godless Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
So, this metaphor could be phrased in a number of different ways, but since I happen to have a mathematical inclination, so I'm doing in terms of mathematics, but it's not lav dafka. Imagine you have a mathematical system, and let us fantasize that the numbers have some sort of self-awareness. So the numbers, some numbers are bigger, some are smaller. So sometimes who created all these numbers here? So what is the greatest number there could be? The Godel Shabbagodel. So they might think, if they're less, more sophisticated, they might know about transfinite numbers. You can have all sorts of hierarchies of numbers, greater and greater infinities. So these numbers might think, oh, that must be the greatest number. But the numbers are inherently inevitably totally incapable of being masig, the mathematician who designed all these things. Well, they can, so I think we're like the numbers. So we can maybe imagine like the whole universe, that's something very big. And maybe you can even imagine, different spheres of universes upon universes. But, we're also like the numbers. We have no hope of having a saga on what the mathematician is.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that's,
okay. Shkayach.
Okay. Thank you very much. Have a very good Kodesh and a good Shabbos.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay.
Bye.
Thank you very much, Rebbe.
Good job.
Can I also ask a quick technical question?
Yeah.
For the Bechina at the end of the semester, I'm just wondering, because I have a friend's wedding, which is...